Let's take our Bibles. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 25. I want to kind of encourage us tonight. The Bible says in verse number 25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves, of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray as we come to this message tonight, dear God, that you would clear my head of anything that would get me going off track, dear God. That you would help me to focus on the message that you've given me for tonight. And dear God, that everything that is said could be clearly understood and applied to our hearts. Dear God, this is your core group at Gospel Light Baptist Church. Help us to take some of the principles that you've shown me and help us to implement them in our lives and grow stronger and closer together. Dear God, may everything that be done here tonight go to honor and glorify you. Fill me full of your Spirit. Give me unction and power from on high. For it's in Christ's name I pray, and amen. As Bible believers, we know what time it is prophetically as far as history goes. We live in the last of the last days. I mean, we're not just in the last century or something like that. I believe we are in the literal last days. Could be days, weeks, months, years, but I don't think we can get into decades. I don't think we're talking decades as far as the last days. I think we're getting close. Jesus could come tonight.
Wow. Amen.
I could spend tomorrow morning looking at signs of his coming, but that's not what I'm talking about tonight. We live in the times of great disappointment and discouragement as we deal with the world. More and more of God's people are becoming distant to the things of God. They're getting away from God's things. Some of the older folks that used to be busy doing things, they're sitting down and doing nothing as if their jobs were done. It really bothers me when I see preachers retire. No. God's never... Man, if God called you to preach, you preach until you die. I think someone like Brother Bobby Robertson or Lee Robertson that just keeps going on. Lee Robertson stepped down as pastor, but he was out preaching. He had somebody drove him everywhere. He was out preaching up until he died. I mean, he preached over 75 years. Never stopped. Brother Bobby Robertson, he's still pastoring. He's going to pastor until they put him in the ground. He just keeps on chugging. Battled cancer and everything else. Keeps on going. Still preaching. Young ones, young people, are choosing the ways of the world over the things of God. I mean, I see so many things. It really bothers me. Next year, coming up to Halloween, I'm going to preach some messages, and I'm going to throw down a couple of messages. It bothers me seeing people who are God's people that celebrate Halloween. Man, that's Satan's holiday. Give me a break. We see the people going and choosing the ways of the world. Churches and pastors that are trying to adjust their messages and ministry to the needs of those kinds of people rather than just continuing to thunder forth the Word of God. We see these things happening in our world, and we ask ourselves, what is the answer to this problem? I think it's kind of twofold. Continue to love people and preach God's word, the uncompromising message of salvation, the uncompromising message of living a separated life, not just separating from people, but separating unto God. Not separating from, separating to. A lot of people separate from something, but never to anything. You separate yourself unto God, you'll separate yourself from the other things. You got to have the right direction in it. Listen, only the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God can overcome this trend that we see going in the church today and the world that we live in. And then the second part is what we're really going to focus on tonight, and that's what we find in verse number 25, is exhorting one another. Exhorting one another. This command of God is far more important than we realize. I want us to look at this for a few minutes because it is a little understood word. In other words, people don't, they just very slightly know something about it. And exhorting one another. When we look at this, and listen, I'm not a Greek scholar or anything, and I don't want you to think that. But we need to understand the English Bible that you hold, okay, and what its meaning. With that, let's use some simple uses of the word exhorting. Exhorting one another. Christ says in John 14 and verse 16, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. I want us to understand some how different words. This word Comforter, which is capitalized because it's a reference to the Holy Ghost, which means, the Comforter means intercessor, counselor, advocate, and comforter. In Hebrews 10:25, the word exhorting means virtually the same as it comes from the same root word. It means to invite, to invoke by imploring somebody to do something. Exhortation, consolation, to beseech someone, to call for, to comfort, to desire, to entreat, to pray. That's what the word means. Here's the bottom line in what we think about this. We are to do the work of the Holy Spirit in intercession and exhortation, intercessory prayer for one another, and exhorting one another. People are often confused, hurting, and generally dysfunctional. Why? One, because they are bewitched by sin. In other words, sin captivates them. They're bombarded by the world. The world is just pounding on them from all sides in every direction. They're bewildered by circumstances. They don't understand why things are going on in their lives the way they are. They're backstabbed by brethren. People you think you can hold to and trust in everything, and they manipulate you around and use you deceitfully. There's other people that are in bad places and bad churches and everything. They get battered by the church. And then eventually they get bitter towards the things of God. They'll become spiritual dropouts. Listen, whether you realize it or not, Satan is doing his job well. Satan is doing his job well. Many times, and I hate to say it like this, with our help. We need the Lord, we need the church more, we need each other. Let us look at several ways that the Bible teaches us that we are to exhort. Remember what I said, okay? Exhort, let me go over this one more time. It means to invite, to invoke by imploration. In other words, to implore. You understand the word implore? Like you're encouraging somebody. You're imploring to them. You're beseeching them to be able to do something. Exhortation or consolation. To call for, to comfort, to desire, to entreat, and to pray. Okay, that's what the word exhort means. We're to exhort people, one, in our prayers. In our prayers. 1 Timothy 2:1 says, I exhort thee, or I exhort therefore, that first of all supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. We're told in the Bible that we're to exhort one another in prayers, that we're exhorted to pray, to intercede, to take things to the throne of grace on somebody's behalf for one another. Ask for strength. Ask for comfort. Ask for understanding. For guidance. All of us need it. But we're to exhort in this area. What did Hebrews 10:25 say? Even so as you see the day approaching. We're to be doing that even more. One of the greatest things that you can do for me is to love and pray for me. To have wisdom. When to do things and when not to do things. What to preach. That's an area God wants us, exhorts us to be involved in. Listen, it's one of the few things in life that you can do that don't cost you anything. Exhort in our prayers. Exhortation in our love for one another. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Use hospitality one for another without grudging. In other words, listen, if you don't, this one word is very important in the Bible, that you don't change this word. All the other Bibles change charity to love. Okay? That's part of its meaning, but that leaves part out if you change it to love. Helping people with the love of your heart is what charity has to do with. It goes beyond. You can say, I love you, brother. But that's not charity. When you go and lend a hand and say, I love you, brother, that means more.
It's more, yeah.
You lose that in all those other things. And those other perversions. It's easy to sit back and say, brother, I love you. Have a great day. But the Bible says that we are in all things have Notice the adjective before that word. Did you look at it? Fervent charity. Have a little zeal behind you. We need to have that love for one another. You know, the New Testament, we are told 15 times to love one another. 15 times to one or love one another. See, love is a characteristic of discipleship. Love someone in spite of their faults and failures. Love with the love that the Lord loves you. Not with what somebody else loves you, but with what the Lord, how the Lord loves you. Boy, that takes it a lot further, doesn't it? Love with forgiveness and forbearance. Love with a love God placed in your hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit. We're exhorted to pray or intercede. We're exhorted to love. We're exhorted in our daily interaction with people. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, the Bible says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily." Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Exhorting one another. Listen, why are we so busy in church? I know your family and stuff says, man, you're always doing something with that church. Because they will not exhort you to do right. If you come to church and get around God's people once a week, you've got 6 days and 20 some hours to be exhorted by the world. Guess who's going to win the battle? The Bible, listen, I didn't write it. The Bible says to exhort one another daily. Daily. While it is called today. He says do it starting today. Don't wait to do it in the future. Do it today. Why? Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Let me help you. Oh, you don't have to start. Just wait. You don't have to start that today. Just wait. Just wait a while. Hey, man. They're getting ready to do something over there tomorrow. That looks fun. Let's go do that. It's not that bad. Next thing you know, you're laying out for something. And then it's two things. Then it's three things. The deceitfulness of sin. Sin doesn't jump on you all at once. It doesn't walk on the door and say, "Hello, I'm here." Why? Because if he did that, you would know to run. He comes in, and the deceitfulness of it. He come in like a sly gigolo comes in on you. And just kind of, "Hey, buddy. Yeah, buddy." The deceitfulness of sin slips in on you and catches you off guard and And before you know it, it has you trapped. God says to exhort one another daily to stop that from happening. Listen, this is a major problem in churches today, because there's a lack of interaction of God's people on a daily basis. Let me ask you. I tell you, we have some people in this church that needs to hear from more than me. 544-4202. Just call it. You'll know who it is when they answer. He needs some people to daily exhort him. They don't know. Huh? Yeah, you probably have. It's not in a place that none of us live. But let me tell you, there's a person on the other end of that phone number that would love someone else. Eric.
Yes.
To Fourier. Someone else, Miss Carmel. Donnie McMinn's phone number. He's in the hospital. But listen, I know a lot of times we're busy and getting things done, but you can take a few minutes and pick up the phone. That will help them, encourage them. Let them know, hey, listen, I am interceding for you.
Amen.
Exhorting. Daily interaction. Listen, we also need exhortation in our verbal communication. You know, the things we say, we need to guard what we say and when we say it. Everything we do in our life is a direct reflection of Christ. If you got people around, you got company around, that's not the time to call somebody that you're going to ream out. Someone giving you hassles and something? Listen, we're to daily exhort one another in our communication. In other words, be uplifting, not pulling down, not giving out the wrong kind of thing. In Proverbs 15 and verse 1, the Bible says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. That, listen, for me, you can ask my family over here. For me, this can be one of my hardest areas to battle. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stirreth up anger. Right there is probably where I live more often than not. Don't break your neck. You don't have to break your neck agreeing with me either. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Listen, I admit where I'm at. Okay? If you can admit it, then you can work on it. But a soft answer. We need to watch what we say and how we say it, because what we do can be offensive. When you're offensive, you can't exhort somebody. It's a hard thing to deal with. Listen, one of my biggest problems, sometimes it might seem like I take my time and maybe dealing with something or responding to something. The reason is because if I go when I first start thinking about it, I'm not going to be using my soft words. Am I right? Mm-hmm. But if I can take 2 or 3 days and back off from something, give myself time to pray before I go into a situation, maybe where I'm going to go counsel someone or something like that, then I can come in more with God's Spirit working with me rather than Rob's Spirit. That's something we have to work on. But we're to exhort in our verbal communication. The Bible says in Colossians 3:16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Admonish means to caution or to reprove gently. Soft words or a soft answer turneth away wrath. Listen, as much as we can, we need to keep the sin between us and God, and rather than putting it out. Exhortation in our faithfulness. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 to 25 says, "Let us hold fast our profession of faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." Of course, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. This is not a negative, but a positive, blessed thing. We come to church to worship together. We come to church to fellowship with one another. Church is not a place to fuss and fume and complain. We come together to exhort. We don't come to church to criticize and judge one another. We come to church to exhort one another, to lift each other up, to come alongside of someone and encourage them. You probably thought I forgot about this one, but exhortation and preaching. Preaching. 2 Timothy 4:1 and 2 says, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be it in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." That's part of my job. Exhort. I try to pray and ask God and have some exhortation in what we do. As a preacher, sometimes it can get easy to pray and allow things within the ministry to guide your messages. That can happen. I've seen it happen before. And it's something I try to guard against as I'm praying, and I want to be able to come to a place where I'm exhorting you positively. Some preachers are just nothing but hellfire and brimstone, and that's all they are. And we need some of that. But we need exhorted to love one another, to pray for each other, to be faithful. to do the things that help edify the church. We all need that. There's a time for the two befores against the forehead. But there's also a time for the pat on the back. And we need that. You need it. I need it. Even so much the more as you see the day approaching. Let me tell you, it's approaching fast. God's Word. Listen. It's easily understood when the Holy Spirit's living inside of you and saying, right on. That's what we need. When people come in, they need to know that we love them. Let me help you. Not everybody wants the truth. Not everybody's going to like the two before on the forehead. You need it, and I need it. Not everybody is going to be open to God's Word. But we're going to find those who do. And slowly, this group will grow. Then there's going to be more people to exhort and to love and to pray for. Some people just don't want help. They want coddled. They don't want help. You understand what I mean by coddled? They want babied. They want you to lay them back and take the bottle and stick it in their mouth and pat their little tail and their back until they burp. They don't want to stand on their own two feet. Christian's life is not about being babied. When I was a child, I spake as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. I'm not trying to go off thinking about tongues, but what I'm trying to say, Paul is saying, is there's a time to grow up. And that's as we grow. There's going to be times when God deals with us and we need somebody to say, listen, hey, I went through that. I understand what you're going through. But you know, God's promises are true. You know, in life when God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, and I went through what you're going through now, and I can say without a doubt, when I went through it, God never left me nor forsook me. And you can exhort someone. You can make it. You can get through this. I'm praying for you. Listen, don't say it if you don't mean it. A couple of the ladies are getting ready to go over to Miss Carmel's. What for? To exhort. That's what the church is about. That's what's missing in the church. Exhorting one another. Even so much more as you see the day approaching. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for how you stir in our lives, dear God. And I pray that you just continue to help us and strengthen us. Help us as we come to these fall and winter days, dear God, to be able to exhort one another in prayer and teaching. And love, dear God, just to be able to exhort one another in our words and and through God's Word. Dear God, help us to be more Christ-like. We thank you for your blessings on our lives and on our church. Help us to be able to take the next step up as individuals and in the church, and to do a little bit more for you, to reach more lost people in the world. And we'll thank you and praise you for it. For it's in Christ's name we pray. And amen.